Welcome to No More Booze, the podcast. I'm Olivia Farrelly, and in every episode, I explore the role that alcohol has in our lives. I interview people who have decided to live their life with no more booze. We'll explore their relationship with alcohol, how it made their life better, how it made their life worse, any lessons they've learned along the way, and what advice they would give to others who are contemplating a life without alcohol. So whether you are sober curious, you're sober serious, or you're already living your life alcohol-free, this podcast will provide inspiration and motivation as you begin to untangle and reassess your relationship with the booze. Hi, everybody, and welcome back to No More Booze, the podcast. Today, I have a lovely friend of mine, Grainne O'Regan, and I'm really excited to talk about your relationship with alcohol and how it has changed over the last couple of years. Grainne, you are so welcome to No More Booze. How are you doing?
I'm great. Thank you for having me here, Olivia.
I'm delighted. So do you want to give the listeners just a little flavor of who you are and what you're about, what you do, all that kind of stuff?
Yeah. So I suppose, and you probably know this, Olivia, from business, you know, when you're in business and you know what you love to do and how you help people, but actually communicating that online on social media, or when you're on a podcast like this, or you're speaking in person and you're like, how do I actually communicate this so people get it? And you attract people who are interested, who are actually really interested in investing with you and actually converting them to clients. So that's what I help women in business to do, in particular, women who are doing coaching. And I tend to attract a lot of women in the health and well-being space because I'm quite passionate. And here I am talking about a change I made in my lifestyle. And I suppose all of that came about from, I suppose, looking at my own life back in the COVID pandemic, my career. You know, I'd worked my way up in my corporate career, but wasn't quite happy. I was very disconnected and I knew I wanted to change, Olivia. And so back in 2020, 2021, I started looking at coaching. Fun fact, I was doing it in my corporate job. I mean, I coached people for years, but I did a personal development course. I'm going to say it was 2018. And everyone said to me, wow, you need to do this full time. And I was like, are you mad? Sure, there's no such job as that. And then when the pandemic happened and, you know, all these online courses and coaching. So I qualified as a life coach in 2021, started my business, had my first client January 2022. And I started off kind of primarily women who were burnt out in the corporate world, which was me. And they wanted to make a change. And it kind of grew to women in business, Olivia, because everyone was coming to me going, how are you doing it? Because I was doing it alongside my job. And what I found was I loved supporting women in business because of my business background. I did primarily strategy, planning, demand, supply, all of those things. And when I put together, like I did a mindset, I was primarily kind of life and mindset coach. And when I put that together with the strategy, it was like, that's my genius packaged up. So that's what I've been doing for the past 3 years, is supporting women in business. And along that way, I've made a lot of lifestyle changes. You know, obviously we're going to talk about alcohol, but especially as a woman who's in perimenopause, learning about my body, my hormones, my cycle, which I'm embarrassed to say I didn't know enough about until I hit my 40s. So yeah, that's a little bit about me, kind of what's got me to here, and looking forward to talk about my relationship and what I've changed in terms of booze.
Amazing. And, you know, you talk there about personal development, and I just want to kind of pick up on that a bit. Is there any kind of things when you think back to that personal development course that you did in 2018? Is there any nuggets you can give us that really kind of were pivotal in you kind of changing a few things in your life?
Yeah, I think there's a couple of things. I think the biggest one that comes to mind, there's probably two things, but the biggest one that comes to mind is being responsible, taking the responsibility. I think I was looking around me and blaming my job, blaming my boss, blaming my commute, probably blaming my husband and kids that I wasn't able to like have more time for me, make a change in my career. And rather than being in that victim blame mindset, actually stepping back and taking responsibility, I was like, No, Grania, you can make a change here. It absolutely is possible. Other people have done it. You don't have to make all of the changes straight away, but being 100% responsible for my life, because I always talk about this, is we always have a choice. And in the middle of that word choice is the letter I. I get to choose. I get to be responsible. And moving away from that, I think I had just gotten into this, how do I describe it, funk of like, there's just no way out. I just have to accept this commute. I just have to accept this job. I have to accept this is just the way life is. And I did a lot of work, and it was very personal responsibility focused. And there's a book I read that book in 2013. So I've actually been on this journey a bit longer. It was called Breakdown to Breakthrough. So
Okay.
interesting, Olivia. That personal development course that I did was called Breakthrough. So
Okay.
that word breakthrough has been a theme that I read that book in 2013. I was put on redundancy notice in my job. I had just gone back to work after having my first daughter. I felt like my world was falling apart. I was the main breadwinner. And I did that work. I did counseling, different things. And then when I became that trainer, it was a breakthrough trainer, and it was all about personal responsibility. And then I did a leadership program in 2022, and part of that program was called Breakthrough as well. So that word has followed me throughout, and I think that was my breakthrough, was the responsibility. And then the other thing was gratitude. I talk about this all the time, that being grateful for what I do have and really being grateful. Like, what I mean, not just writing down your gratitudes and, I think sometimes really feeling that I was grateful for my family, for the job that I had, even though I wasn't loving it, it was supporting me while I was growing my business. And grateful for what I was going to bring in for the future. That was a big one for me. Looking at, I did want to go full time in my business, and I was being impatient, but actually learning to be grateful for the now and what's coming to me. They're probably two big things on my journey that I've learned.
And you talk about personal responsibility, and it's a word I use as well, and I use it in the terms of sovereignty as well. And we were speaking there like about your personal responsibility, and even when we look at giving up alcohol, right? And people come to me and all the time, and I say, I am not going to do this for you because I cannot. It's not like, I'm sure I've said this loads, but it's not like going to get your legs waxed. I'm not waxing your legs. I'm giving you the wax and you're waxing your own legs, but it's not. But I can't do it for you. I'll give you all the tools, but you must not drink. That's your side of the bargain. This is mine. And nobody. It's and you mentioned a lot about kind of victim mode and stuff. Like, we have to take the responsibility. Like, in the middle of the word choice, there's I, and I think it's so lovely that we are in a space where there's a lot of examples around us where people can change their lives, and we need to tap into that as well. And believe develop the belief that if other people can do it, then so can we as well.
Yeah, 100%. And it is about changing our mindset. And I could get into the whole, I did NLP as part of my coaching, your kind of neural pathway, to say that it is possible. I can change this. I can, rather than, and I think sometimes it's about blocking out the stories that are in our head, but also blocking out the outside noise. Because, and particularly when it comes to personal responsibility, I think with alcohol, and certainly I experienced this, that when I made the decision, and I know we'll talk about this, where at the beginning it was hard, like, because it had been part of my life for, so what age am I now? I'm 47. So it was 3 years ago, I was 44. So I had my first alcoholic beverage when I was 16. So I wasn't the legal age, but look, I think most of us in Ireland, it was like a young age. So what's that? That was nearly 30 years. Like, it's a lot of conditioning, and I think, but knowing that you can break it, but it definitely starts with you accepting. I always talk about like the five A's with anything. It's about having the awareness. It's about accepting that it ain't gonna be easy. It is going to be hard, but that you can work through that. Having appreciation, this is where the gratitude comes in. Having the appreciation of what you have, in life, what life can be looked like without drinking and stuff. And then it's the action, it's taking the action and having accountability. I always talk about those 5 A's with everything that I do. And that is what has helped me in. And if I think about the alcohol journey, it's something I did on my own. When I reflect back now, in my business, I think I will always have some kind of coach, mentor, be part of the community. But the alcohol journey, interestingly enough, Olivia, is one I've done on my own. But I actually believe that because I've done a lot of that inner work, that personal development, leadership type. And when I say leadership, I don't mean leadership in terms of, like in a corporate, that you have a title. I mean inner leadership. And I think we are all leaders in our own life. And I think having done a lot of that inner work, it was almost like my, how do I put this? I think self-care was one that I really prioritized back around 2021. And 2022, 2023 was the alcohol. And it was like a progression, but it was almost this stretch for myself. This was just one other thing in my life that was like not really adding anything to my life. And I just took responsibility and I said, well, do you know what? I can continue to do this and feel crap, or I can be responsible and change it. And it was a step that in the right direction. That wasn't easy, but I think those 5 A's helped me. And I think holding myself accountable to myself was a big stretch as well.
Yeah, and I did it alone as well. And but it feels like you're fumbling through the dark. And I think it's I watch even in my own community and how when somebody says, "Oh my God, I'm at a hen in Marrakesh. They want me to drink. What am I gonna do?" And then 10 people go, "You're not gonna drink," because it helps us through those difficult times that we
Absolutely.
had at the beginning. And I think you raised a really good point there about conditioning, right? We are conditioned for everything. We don't think that there's, like, I mean, everything, right? I'm at that stage in my life now, but it's like, especially around alcohol, right? And I know when we were arranging this podcast, we were talking about the Stephen Bartlett thing and how people have absolutely piled on him because he said, three glasses of wine ruined my life. Like, calm down, everybody. But, we all know that 3 glasses of wine can cost us 3 days. Yeah.
Absolutely, which I'm testament to that. This is where this podcast came from because I shared about, so it's 3 years ago this month. I think it might even be this week or next week. And I was out with my parents. So it's not like I was out at a hen or, a big social event. We were just in the local pub and I had 3 glasses of wine and I was getting sick pretty much for 2 days. And I was due to travel home the following day with my 2 daughters. I couldn't. I was up all night, up all day, getting sick. And maybe some of your listeners have experiences, but it's not night. If anyone's even had like a stomach bug and that when you're empty reach, all of just, it was just horrible. And that wasn't new for me, Olivia. Like when I look back, the minute I took alcohol back in when I was 16, I got sick. And look, I know that we all experimented and it's all great crack. And for any of your American listeners or anyone who's not from Ireland, I mean, crack as in fun. That's our word in Ireland for fun. But it was always like that. I was always ill from alcohol, as in physically sick. And I just did it because that was the norm in Ireland. And I was, oh, sure, it's all great crack. And everyone's saying, oh, sure, my hangover and who was able to drink the most and all that kind of stuff. And, in your late teens and 20s, that's all fine. In your 30s, I became a mum in my 30s and I wasn't out socializing as much. But when I would go out, the whole, oh my God, I'm away from the kids, let's party. And sure, then I'd be recovering again afterwards. And when I look back, it was ridiculous and it did ruin days in my life. That example, so that was 3 years ago. And I just remember, because my daughters came in to see, was I okay? And I just went, what kind of an example am I setting for them? I was like, Ronnie, for God's sake, you're 40. I would say then I was 44 years of age, getting sick in my parents' spare room. I felt like I was 16 again. And I was like, I was just said that. And up until that point, Olivia, I had done the whole white wine spritzers, you know, so it was more sparkling water than it was wine, or I was drinking things like West Coast Cooler because it had less alcohol. Like I was doing all these things because alcohol never agreed with me. And once I hit my 40s and hormone changes and perimenopause, it hit me even worse. And then I just went, I asked myself the question, is this adding to my life or is this taking? And the simple question answer was, it was taking. Now, for full transparency, I wasn't the kind of person who was drinking very frequently. Like it would be, you know, I would have been the person who would have got the bottle of wine on a Thursday or a Friday night, you know, it's the weekend, but that would, you know, I'd drink it over 2 nights, but then feeling groggy, feeling sick. Like there's days I missed on holidays with my kids. Like I remember going on holidays. It was our first holiday after the pandemic abroad. And there was one day I spent all day in bed, again, in and out of the bathroom, because I chose to drink something that doesn't agree with me, which sounds so ridiculous now when I
Right.
say it out loud. But I think it was the socialization, the conditioning that I had in my head. So when Stephen Bartlett came out with that, I actually got where he was coming from. And I correct me if I'm wrong, but I think it's true. I think he had taken a break from alcohol before that period. So
Yeah.
obviously when he went back and drank something, you know, it didn't agree with him. And I think, you know, people were shaming him. And I saw some of the comments and I kind of went, well, to be honest with you, like, each to their own. Like Stephen obviously values his health, he values his time, he value, you know, as do I. And it just came to a stage where I value that more than feeling crap after consuming something that was making me feel worse than,
Yeah.
you know.
And it's
Yeah.
funny, and it's something has just kind of resonated with me there. And like I met Gary when I was 28, right? And then sure, like it was vomit central. Like, and you see, so it's Russian roulette vomit central, because I didn't never knew when the vomiting would come. It might not, who knows? It's Russian roulette. But he started saying to me things. So the messaging then I was getting from him was, Olivia, if I got as sick as you did from alcohol, I wouldn't be drinking. But I was like, what do you mean you wouldn't be drinking? Everyone drinks, try and great crack. I love drinking, like we all love, come on. But it then obviously maybe that seeped into me going, well, why am I drinking if I'm vomiting for 3 days, you know?
Come here, I was vomit central, and I think of my husband like, I mean, you name it, I vomited there. Planes, trains, automobiles, handbags,
Churches.
out the window for churches at a wedding because you've been out the night before. And the mental, like I think I was sharing this with you, was the mental calculations I would do. So if I was going to a wedding, or if I was going, to some kind of an event, right, so the wedding is at this time and the meal is at this time. So if I have like the Prosecco or whatever is at the pre-reception, and then if I don't drink wine, and then I'll have my, like, honestly, when I think back, it was absolutely ridiculous. And, you know, when something about this, the comments about Stephen Bartlett was like a lot of people normalizing
Yeah.
that, normalizing the being sick, the hangovers. Ah, sure, get over it. It's only a day. It's only 3 days, or whatever. But it's not, because it's each time you do it, that is all adding up.
Yeah.
And you know, it was only when I reflected back and I looked at the things I missed out on, the times I spent, you know, on the couch or in bed for the day and stuff like that. And yeah, some people might go, oh, well, I don't do it that often, so why bother? And fair enough, that's your choice, but it goes back to choice again. The letter I is in the middle, and each to their own. But I think, you know, I think wronging him for the choice that he makes, or wronging us for the choice that we make to just not feel like that anymore, I think is, you know, I think we, and look, in Ireland, I think it can be difficult. And I know we've spoken about this, the culture is slightly different. It's, you know, our, what's the word, our reputation precedes us, unfortunately. And I think, unfortunately, it's kind of in our conditioning as well. So it's just, it is harder to break. And when I think back, had I had a community like what you have or support like that, I would have made it a lot. Because there was a lot of times I felt alone, Olivia. Like, you know, how do I describe it? It's like you're on an escalator going the opposite direction to
To
everybody
everybody
else, and that
else.
can be damn hard.
Yeah, and that's definitely what it feels like. Now, I reframe this for everybody, and it's like we are the early adopters of something that everybody is going to be into in the next 10 or 15 years. As you know, when there's a lot of health information that's coming out, and certainly over the last 5 years, the Global Burden of Health study in 2020 was kind of one of the first ones. Canada have looked at their guidelines and completely changed them as well around alcohol, in terms of what they say is low risk. The American Cancer Association came out last year with a totally revised like modifiable cancer risks, stuff like that. So, but as we all know, it takes time for science to infiltrate down to humans, normal humans walking on the street who accept that this is, you know, a health harm or whatever. But I suppose what we can kind of say is that, right, enough was enough. There has to be more to life than this. So can you maybe, and I heard you say about your kids as well, and the huge catalyst for me obviously was the kids, because I wasn't the mother I thought I'd be. I didn't, like, for me, right, spending 2 days vomiting and being a lunatic and having like drama filled, you know, nights and mornings was not acceptable for me as a 37-year-old mother of two. It just was wholly unacceptable. And when I came out of my body and looked at myself, I thought I was completely fucking pathetic. And that's how I just said, I'm done. And that's how it kind of came about. Now I am outrageously hard on myself. So, you know, you're a normal person might not be saying those things. So do you want to bring us back and maybe kind of go through the pivotal moments of giving up 3 years ago?
Yeah, and I think exactly as you just described there, I just remember lying in that bed, my daughter's coming into me, seeing how I was, and you know, me not hardly even being able to lift my head off the pillow. And you know, they were at their grandparents' house, they were having a great time. But like, I just remember lying in the bed going, seriously, like, you are pathetic in my head. And I was like, what kind of an example are you setting for them as well? You know what I mean? And I think I had fobbed it off in the past, going, actually, I don't really do that often. But it was once too many for me. Like, if I think back to that holiday, I think that holiday had been the previous year, probably 2022, and how I'd spent the day of the holiday in bed, you know, because of being ill from alcohol as well. And I remember that evening, I was so hangry. When you get like, you start to feel better and then you're starving. And I hadn't eaten all day and we went out for a meal and I was like a bloody briar. And I'd say we were there with my sister and her family. And I'd say the whole lot of them were like, Jesus, I'm sick of listening to this one. So there was all these thoughts just came flooding back, especially when I was in that bed that day. And the following day, when I couldn't travel back and I was still like getting ill, I was just like, okay, that's it. And I just came home to my husband. And I'm sure my husband probably had thought, God love him, you know, maybe she should. And I just stopped because, like, as I said, it had been white wine spritzers, reducing, reducing, reducing. And that was the straw that broke the camel's back. And then I went cold turkey. That would have been the July. And I remember going to being invited to an event by a friend of mine for that September, and then it was an awards night for people in business. And that was my first kind of social event where I wasn't driving. I was staying overnight, and I found that really difficult. And I did drink at that. I remember I drank the champagne that was at the reception, and I might have had one drink at the meal because I associated that with alcohol, and that is something that I've come to realize. Every celebration, you're getting married, bottle of champagne, you know, you celebrate something in your business, celebrate with a glass of champagne. It's your birthday. If you're going visiting somebody at their house, you bring them. Like, alcohol is associated with so many things. And when I was at home in my own cocoon, that was okay. But when I went to social events or, you know, maybe family events and stuff like that, that's when it was hard. It was, yeah, hard.
And I think that is so. It's like you said, we all live in a beautiful cocoon, right? And we feel safe in our own four walls. So you make a decision then, and it's absolutely perfect. It's when we start to wander into the wider world. So, we always talk about weddings, business awards or awards ceremony, whatever. Like maybe people don't go to awards ceremonies, but whatever, work dues, concerts, all of these things. Like I was at Calvin Harris. Now it was great, but I'm in a field at 5 o'clock and everybody is absolutely off their tits, right? And then I'm kind of trying to dance and it's weird. Do you know what I mean? And it's
It is.
unusual and it's completely bright. And only then, when it actually got kind of dark, did I start to really kind of let go, because it's awkward. Because when everyone around you is drunk, there's this kind of feeling, oh my God, am I left out? And this is probably the hardest thing that people will have to get through. It's everything else is fine, but it's the conditioning and the society and culture we live in. So when did
Yeah,
that start?
absolutely.
Kind of, when
When
did
did
that?
that start to eat? Yeah, so I'm going to say probably, so that was July. So I went to that event that Christmas. I remember I was really good that Christmas, because I think Christmas can be a time. Holidays, I remember going on holidays to January in that January, and I had like one cocktail. I think when you're abroad, and there's something with that. I'm going to say it was probably last year when that started to really lift, Olivia. So that was last year. It probably took me 2 years to kind of, how do I put it, climatize. Yeah, and I went to another stretch. I love giving myself stretches and challenges. So I went to the Pink concert last year with friends, and that I think that was my bargain with my daughter. Like, that was my first going out with friends to a concert where I didn't drink. And sure, I was the one up dancing the most. Now, that concert, I was seated, so it was a little bit easier. But the Oasis concert last year, I went and I was going on my own. I got a ticket last minute. I was like, oh my God. Turned out my sister and her friend got a ticket, so I met them beforehand, but I was going to be at the concert on my own. So this was going to be a really big stretch, because the easiest thing to do would be to get a drink when you're on your own, and especially when you're on your own at a concert. And this was a really big stretch for me. And I remember I went out and I got I think I got a coffee or something, and I was standing around and everybody was coming in and they were all like walking this way. Walking that way, bumping into each other. And there was a lot of people very, well oiled, as we'd say in Ireland. And I was standing there just observing, and I love observing people, love airports. And I was like, this feels weird, 16, 17-year-old me who, fell in love with Oasis and played their album over and over. Like, it was so different. And it was almost like I was watching my own journey with alcohol over the years in slow motion, if that makes sense. It was kind of weird. And I went down to my seat, and I remember there was three people beside me, and they were all there on their own. So then the universe was looking out for me, going, and I know you're a big lover of the universe. So they put me like in a seat where I was with three other people who were on their own. Sure, by the end of the concert, we were the best mates. And they were drinking alcohol, but the girl beside me only had like one or two drinks. So she was like, I'm sticking with you, because the other two were like, but we all had great crack and great fun. And I remember after that concert going, yes, I can do this. Because I think up until that point, I was like, it's like the escalator thing. It's like you feel like, but even though I felt when I was standing there observing everybody, I felt out of place, it also felt right, if that makes sense.
Yeah, total sense. And I suppose, like, we're in a summer, we're in the middle of summer now, and like there's so many concerts. And somebody sent in a picture recently of the Take That concert, and how, and they took a picture of the bar because they were in the stands, and like literally like 10 deep of people. But like she was saying, oh, I was so present. I didn't leave my seat once. I was able to remember all the songs, the order in which the songs came on. And then I hopped into my car and drove home. And that's the
I
thing,
know.
isn't it? Yeah.
Oh, I mean, I was so present for like the Oasis concert was just, I'm a huge fan, never got to see them live. So it was like, this is incredible. And it was like, anyone who was there said it was like, how do I put this? It was more than just a concert. It definitely was, but I was so present singing every song. And like that, one of the biggest benefits is being able to come home. Like I my car parked in town, so I was able to walk down, get my car and go home. And it was just so nice. And I think it really brought home to me that presence. I think that word that you just said there is that you're able to be more present. And I think we spoke about this is that, you know, when you're, and I do find I can be a Cinderella sometimes, that, you know, if I'm out at a social event, I have found that 11 to 12 o'clock is kind of my cutoff point, is that when it gets to midnight, you know, that's kind of where I, unless there's music, unless I'm at a concert or maybe you're at somewhere where there's a band and stuff like that. If there's music and I'm dancing, fine. But if it's just a pub situation or, you know, a function room, I tend to find that hard because it's everybody's getting to that maybe Murray stage, and which is great for them, but I just am finding like, okay, I'm finding this a little bit not uncomfortable, but I'm just not enjoying it. So when I feel like I'm not enjoying it or I'm not present anymore, I will make my excuses and leave. And I don't myself make myself wrong for that anymore because that's just me. I would prefer to go out from like 8 until 12 o'clock and come home. And I was never a late person. My family are a family of night owls. My siblings, I'm like the odd one out. I'd always be the one who'd be in bed early and stuff like that. And that's just me, and I'm happy to do that. But there was a long time I made myself wrong for that. But now, how you said the word presence there, I'm so present and I'm able to enjoy it. And there have been nights out where I've stayed until 2 and 3 o'clock. I think we're quite similar, Olivia, that we go deep into conversation. So I love being in rooms where the conversation is like, you know, just that open and that depth. And sometimes, you know, because I've done a lot of personal development work, you know, you're in situations where that isn't there. And that's where the alcohol would have helped in the past, where you would just have maybe, how do I put this? I'm not saying put up with that, or you would have stayed longer, if that makes sense. Whereas now I'm just like, you know, I'm happy to go home now, you know. So.
Absolutely. And you can see when a night ends. Like you feel the energy, you're attuned to it, and you're like, there's nothing left for me here. So bye bye. And
Exactly.
I tend to give
Yeah.
people the fingers and go, see you later, losers. But it's,
Love it, Olivia.
oh yeah, like, and everyone knows, you know, that's the thing as well. I'm like, I can't listen to you anymore. Like, I love you, but see you
Yeah,
later.
it's like the broken record. You've heard the same thing 3 or 4 times, and
Or
I
seven
think
times.
everybody else around them hasn't noticed it, but we're more conscious, so you tend to notice it a little bit more.
Exactly. And you're like, I'm going home. You know, but you know, I suppose it's all of this. And I heard you say something there and I loved it. And it was like, this is the real me. So you know it, and you do a lot of personal development work, but what happens when you give up alcohol, it's like personal development work on steroids. It goes through the roof, and you're like, you notice things about yourself, and you're like, so I tell people all the time, I noticed I was really competitive, right? And I'm back at the gym now, and the minute they say, oh, we're going to do a competition, I'm like, yeah, do you know? So I like that part of my personality, which I never kind of liked before. Well, I didn't know about it, you know? So you notice things about yourself, and it's very nice, and you have a level of acceptance. And as we kind of go through the lifespan, then we're noticing even more, and you're more confident as well. That's, have you, what are the other things you've noticed about yourself since, you know, giving up?
Yeah, 100%. Like, I think the word that comes to mind for me is I'm a very connected person. So connection would be one of my values. And what I mean by that is that I'm great at connecting the dots for people, which is why what I do, in my business. But I'm great at connecting other people and connecting conversations and all of that. And I said it, I think, at the beginning, that I was feeling very disconnected in my life. Back, you know, wasn't very happy in my career, felt disconnected as a mother, just felt disconnected to me. And I think, you know, as I was doing the work and making shifts, that connection was growing and growing and growing. And then I think the alcohol was like one of the final parts where, when I was out socially, I was just more connected and I was just, you know, more conscious, more present, able to hear things in a different way, see things in a different way, and just feel more connected, if that makes sense. I think that came through Massively. And that's come through massively through my whole journey, but appreciating that about myself, going back to what you just said there, and noticing that that's okay, and also that I'm a very empathetic person. I like depth, and I had a conversation with somebody about this last week about a certain room that we're in that we were finding that we weren't enjoying. It was to do with business, and we both expressed the same thing, that we felt like it was surface level, that people weren't going to the next level of conversation and being connected. Whereas her and me would be more, we'd like to be very open and honest, a bit like here, And I have found that I am a bit more discerning now about the rooms I put myself in, because I kind of feel like, no, that feels disconnected for me. And that has probably meant, Olivia, on the flip side, maybe saying no to things or places. I always talk about spaces and places with my clients, and maybe not getting invited to things, social things, as much, because sure, she wouldn't be interested in that because she doesn't drink anymore, that kind of thing. And being okay with that. And I think just really honoring myself for that, and not having the FOMO. There was the FOMO, I'm going to be honest. There was FOMO where maybe I left things early, or I didn't get invited to things and stuff like that, or I said no to things. But that FOMO has definitely dissipated now.
Yeah. And one of the things that I'm not just saying this for like lip service, I'm saying it for, I actually do believe this. When I wasn't invited to things, right? And like it stings for a minute, but what really gives me comfort, and there's no judgment, genuinely, there's no judgment in this. What I say is people operate from the level of awareness that they have. They don't m intentionally mean to leave you out. They
Absolutely.
just, their level of awareness is dry balls across the road won't be drinking, so she won't be enjoying it. And listen, dry balls granted that, right? But like, do you know what I mean? So I think that's a good lesson to learn. And as well, like for me, I'm doing a lot of, with the women I'm working with at the minute, we're doing a lot around kind of emotional regulation, right? And when we're emotionally dysregulated, does that look like we're defensive, right? And then as we go through, more skill-based learning around emotional regulation, so we stop being as defensive as we used to be. But that's one of the
Absolutely.
joys of this kind of journey and personal development as well, that you stop becoming, as touchy as you were.
Absolutely. And I definitely would have been that person and, would have played things around in my head a lot more, and overthought it. Whereas now it might have a little bit of a sting, but I'd be like, let them. I don't know if you listen to Mel Robbins, but read her book, The Let Them Theory. Let them, and I think that comes from the growth and the level of awareness. And absolutely, absolutely no judgment. I think maybe at the beginning I did, and maybe that was me breaking that conditioning. But now that I've been on that journey, it definitely doesn't bother me. As you say there, dry balls, just, was happy to, have her, whatever sparkling water with lemon and lime in it or whatever it is, and be, happy here. Or like drive to the concert and have, the sparkling water or whatever it is and be present. So it's not, I always say that it's never an either or life, it's a both and. So we get to be present and not drink alcohol and not feel guilty or judged for it. And other people get to drink the alcohol and enjoy it. And if they choose to, for them to have the hangover and feel bad, that's their choice as well. And we get to both exist. And I think I certainly see it as a culture in Ireland, it's changing, and how you talk about the science and it's always catching up. And I would like to think for my daughter's generation that it is changing. And, I've heard recently, even, obviously with the house prices in Ireland, a lot of young people are living at home for longer and they don't have social outlets. They don't have their own home to invite people over. And I heard, I think it's a bar owner in Dublin, that what they have started to do midweek is have things that organized events during the week that young people can come to the pub. They may not be drinking, but they want a space to come to be able to, like, I don't know, they'll have a card night or a karaoke night or whatever it is, but a space where younger people can come. Because when I think about it, you know, I would have rented for years and, you know, invited friends over, you know, gone out with people and stuff, but now people don't have that. So I think, you know, socially things are changing. And if, I even remember a trip I did to Paris. Like, Paris is amazing for having late night cafes, and you can go and get food at like 12 o'clock at night. I remember being there with my sister, and she wanted another drink, and I was done. And I had like a cup of tea and a slice of cake while she had, you know, a glass of whatever. And I think if we can move more to that, you know, I think it is starting to change in Ireland, and I think if we can move more towards normalizing it so that, you know, people don't have that guilt or that fear, or do I have the drink at the hen party or whatever it is. And I think the, like, the work that you're doing is incredible, Olivia, helping people on that journey to be able to break that conditioning. And I think had I had thought about getting, you know, having community like that around me, it would have maybe eased a lot of that on my journey.
And the reason I started this was because I started it for myself to be what I needed back in 2018. I just needed somebody, and how I phrase it is, I needed to somebody to hold my hand and tell me it would be okay that I was doing this. So I had no way, I had no reference point to know that it was going to be the greatest thing that I would ever do. And that's why I'm now, like, 8 years down the line, I'm still blathering on about it. It's still amazing. It's still, and because I have the absolute joy of watching people move from to an alcohol-free life, and I'm a part of that, I won't deny that, but I see that they're going through the exact phase that I went through. They're like, oh my God, and then this, and then this, and I'm more patient with the kids, and, you know, I'm you know, and one of my friends just texted me the other day, and she was like, I got a first class honors in my psychology degree. And I was like, of course you did. Do you know what I mean? So, like, there's just so much good about it as well. You know, the way you said there that you kind of tapered off. So it was like trial and error. I'll go to that event, I'll go to kind of this. Where are you now in your journey, and how is it feeling to you?
I think I'm more at peace with it. Somebody asked me the question the other day. I was hosting a book club here at my home. So obviously I had alcohol for the people who were here. I wasn't drinking. And somebody asked me, do I miss it? And my answer is no. And I'll be very truthful and honest here. I think a couple of months ago, like, my husband still drinks, and I was like, oh, you know, will I try one? And I did. And I'm going to be honest about this. And I had a spritzer and I didn't drink it. I started sipping it. And then I turned around and I was watching something on TV and fell asleep as I normally do. And then I turned around and I didn't drink it. And I think I was still testing myself, Olivia. And I think I needed to test myself to go, no, I don't miss it. And, like, even, you know, one thing that I find works for me is still have the wine glass, but put something else into it, or still have the champagne flute and have your, you know, sparkling whatever. I Prosecco is great, and or sparkling. I drink a lot of sparkling water, but just a little bit of a flavor in it, and put in your nice little bit of strawberry or mint, whatever. You can still, like, do things like that, and I think experiment. But I think I do you know what it was with the warm weather? The warm weather, and you know, everyone's outside and you can smell the barbecues and all that, and there are tests like that, and I don't make myself wrong for that, you know, you have that those blips. That's what I would say to anybody who's listening, that, and you know, I think having those little blips, it's not like I had a dependency or anything on alcohol, but it's more just I just know the consequences of me drinking more than likely end up, as you said earlier, you don't know how the vomiting will go or how it will affect you. And the fear of that, and I'm going to say it's the fear of that, but it's not even the fear anymore, Olivia. I think it's more just, it's just not good for me. And, you know, I'm saying no to it. And I think almost the test was like, how do I put this? It was almost like solidifying, I'm there, you know, that kind of a way. And somebody said to me, like, will you ever drink again? And I'm still not at the place, Olivia, where I'm going to go, I'll never have a drink again, or like that I'm completely, how do I put this, that, you know, I'm done. But then there's another side of me where, like, I think I'm pretty close to that. And I think everybody's journey is different. You know, I've spoken to some people who, and funny, I did stories on my Instagram, which is where we connected, and loads of people, it's so interesting. I'll share the results of it, but the majority of people either do feel very ill and hungover after alcohol and are still drinking, or they've given it up. And the people have said they've given it up, they just said it's like night and day. But they've all said the same thing, that it's not easy, especially socially. So I think don't beat yourself up if you're on the journey and you have blips and you question yourself, but definitely surround yourself with people who are, and it's funny, I feel like I'm attracting more people in my world who don't drink that rather than do. And I've attracted people who do drink as well, but it's interesting how I found myself at a lot of those conversations.
Yeah. And like you said there, so you have to go through every kind of eventuality, right? So it's the nights out, it's the social, it's the blah, blah, blah. But also, you just mentioned there, it was the good weather. So you maybe hadn't experienced good weather and what that association was for, you know. Okay. So, like myself and Gary, when we lived in Rat Mines, we lived in a beautiful Georgian house, and like not the whole thing, a little flat that was literally the size of a wheelie bin. We loved it. We were so happy. We knew that because we lived in a wheelie bin in Rat Mines, we could live anywhere. But we used to sit out when the sun would kind of, we used to sit out the back and drink Prosecco, and then it would come across the front of the house and we'd sit on the thing. And like that's what we associated good weather with. We would drink a bottle of Prosecco out the back and then move it to the front of the house or whatever. But like we have to keep breaking those associations all the time. If it takes a year, if it takes 2 years, again, like you said, it's all part of the journey. Like we're at the stage now where there's no judgment on anybody. Like we're literally all adults here, but it's making that decision based on how everything's making you feel.
Absolutely. And I think it's funny you say, I think there's definitely the weather when you're away on holidays, but I think it's the warm weather in Ireland, and we got exceptionally warm weather in May. So it's such an exception that it's like, oh, I associated with this. So it's funny how those associations will crop up, and you need to go through all of them to kind of to break the conditioning.
Yeah, just, and we might end it here. Oh, we've been talking for ages. But you know your business. So you went into your business a few years ago, probably coincided with the same time that you were rethinking your relationship with alcohol. Do you think you would be where you are today in your business had you still, you know, been drinking alcohol regularly?
Interesting question. So I think certainly, like when I look back, you know, I was building my business in 2021, 2022 alongside my job. And so that was like working 4 days a week, doing my business on the side, two children. And I look back and I was like, wow, I was doing it. And interestingly, I was probably, I think during the COVID, during the pandemic, like 2020, 21, I definitely was drinking more alcohol, you know, as you know, everybody was doing back in the day, and everyone, you know, putting up, you know, their back garden, all that kind of stuff. And then when I went into like 22, 2023, because I was so busy, I wasn't drinking as often. But when I did do, it hit me. And I don't know about anybody else, and I don't know if there's science behind this, Olivia, or not, but as your awareness grows and as you go more in a personal development journey, I feel like alcohol became more of a, how do I put this? Not a poison, but like a thing that just did not agree with me. And I think as my awareness grew, like even though I was probably doing it more infrequently, it was hitting me harder, and definitely hormone changes and all of that. And I definitely feel like where my like 2024 was my biggest growth year in my business. And I definitely feel that there is a, that's not a coincidence. I definitely feel like I was sharper, I was more focused, because that was the biggest impact. Like as I said, I would have been a, you know, Thursday into Friday night, the weekend, bottle of wine, that kind of drinker, and I definitely think I was sharper, I was more focused. I was waking up, like sometimes I think it would linger into the start of my week if I had been ill over the weekend. Whereas now I just was more, how do I put it, just more focused and present. And I think that definitely helped me. And I think it has continued to help me with, difficult situations in life, business, all of that, to be more present and focused and more aware. Like even, with kids and, in work situations, whatever, that I'm more aware of it and able to pivot and respond better than I would have in the past.
Yeah. So there is, yeah. So as we get older, our tolerance drops and our sensitivity rises. And also, we don't produce the same level of antioxidants that we did in our youth. So I suppose the toxic byproduct of alcohol stays in our body longer. So that's what's causing the 3 and 4 day hangovers as opposed to the 2 hour hangovers back in our 20s. So it does. So like, there's a lot to be said for it. And in women, certainly in menopause, perimenopause, like it hits differently. And you have to make that decision for yourself. But as we say here all the time, nobody's judging anybody. Everyone's just living their life and giving everybody the credibility to live their own life.
Exactly. It's all about the choice.
Absolutely. And like, and I was going to say this, but like, when you were talking about our kids and stuff, like our kids know that there's choice now. You can or you can't. Like, it's not that everybody does it and there's no choice. You do. And we talk obviously a huge amount about our own kids, about booze to our kids. Not in like a sappy way or anything. Anyway, right. Grainne, thank you. I've loved our conversation because I think it's so important to bring in everybody's perspective, as in, okay, what were the things that helped me kind of remove it, taper off it? What are the things that I've struggled with? What are the things that I can add in, all that kind of thing, because it helps so many people on the journey. So, where can people find you if they want to connect more?
So I hang out primarily on Instagram. You can find me at, it's my name, so it's Grainne O'Regan Coaching on Instagram. And my DMs are always open. I'm an open book. So if anything has resonated with anybody here and they'd like to connect with me, feel free to drop me a DM.
Beautiful. Thank you. I have loved this conversation.
I've loved it too. Thank you so much for having me here, Olivia.
Hooray. No More Booze, the podcast, is produced, mixed, and mastered at the studios of Irish Audio Drama. For more information, visit irishaudiodrama.com.